This is Will Friedle from Pod Meets World. Let's be honest. The 90s gave us some great things. The music, totally rad. The fashion, so fly. Home decor, that's a different story. In HGTV's new competitive series, Totally 90s House, two teams of iconic TV stars take on two homes frozen in time. Paired with HGTV experts, they'll turn dated spaces into fresh modern homes and compete for the ultimate bragging rights. Goodbye, honey oak cabinets. Hello, 21st century. Totally 90s House. Special series premiere starts August 26th at 9, 8 central on HGTV.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
You'll hear that today starting at 2 o'clock, every day starting at 2 o'clock, Monday through Friday on 94.9. Back here on Darren, Donick, and Chase, brought to you by Blue Note Juke Joint, smoother than smooth. And on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, is our guest at every Thursday at this time, Paul Feinbaum. He's the host of that show open that you just heard. He's brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com. Your live and local mortgage expert. Paul, good morning. How you doing?
Guys, I'm doing great. I'm doing better than the sport of college football right now.
Yeah, I was going to say, today's password is postponed. How many SEC games are postponed? You know, I guess there's three left standing. Do you feel pretty comfortable that we'll still have three before we get to Saturday?
Yeah, I do, but it doesn't take much to call one off. I was speaking to Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, and he told me they had two positives, and it shut down the game with Tennessee. I mean, so that's all it takes. Vanderbilt's playing Kentucky. I think I have that right. And thank goodness. I mean, where would we be if that game had not been gifted to us this weekend?
We lobbied that should now be the CBS game, and I don't think I think it fell on deaf ears. It fell on deaf ears.
Yeah, no, it's you talk to a lot of people when you're covering stories like this, and you know the commissioner came on our program the other day, Greg Sankey, and he said we knew we would have some bumps, but this week was really beyond anyone's imagination. But it started happening early with signs of Alabama and LSU being in trouble. Then Auburn had an outbreak, and then the A&M situation, and then Missouri, which has been under pressure all year because they have a small scholarship number. And it has given people time to think about the future the next 5 to 6 weeks, and it's not as clear-cut that we'll get there as it was a couple of weeks ago when everything was going great.
Yep. Good point. I want to ask you, just because of your dealings with him over the years, and we brought him up many times on the show this week, and ironically, then he came into the news and he gets a contract extension. I don't know if that necessarily means somebody's off the market. We've seen coaches get contract extensions and they still leave. But Hugh Freeze, and you know, they got a lot of attention because they beat Virginia Tech over the weekend, and they're 7-0. And SEC fans are very familiar with Hugh Freeze. Just what's your take on Hugh Freeze, on what he's done to this point? And if he keeps winning at Liberty, how do you think this is going to play out, in your opinion?
Yeah, he is that name that's always been lurking. And, you know, since he was fired, you know, he sat out. I mean, he could not get a job in the SEC for 2 years because he was blocked by the conference office. Nick Saban wanted to hire him as the offensive coordinator. Five other teams did, but they wouldn't let him. Biggest reason was because of, you know, Ole Miss was on postseason ban, and the conference felt it was not fair to let him coach while his players could not play in a postseason event. So bringing us to where we are now, I think while there is still some baggage, winning cures that. I don't need to tell you there are plenty of coaches right now, and especially in basketball, who seem to fight on regardless of what the allegations may indicate. And because of that, I think there are some places where he could fit in. Contract extension this week means absolutely nothing. I mean, that was laughable. Freeze was on our program Monday saying, you know, it depends on the situation if we get the right, you know, if I get the right offer. I mean, he wasn't being shy. So, you know, what's going to become open, I think, is really the better question. If you look at it objectively, he might be smart to wait a year when there are better offers than some of the ones that could be coming open this year. But ultimately, some athletic director is going to say, you know what, it's not pretty, but we need to hire this guy because he's such a good offensive coach and he runs an exciting team. And I will tell you, and I'll shut up after this, I know Hugh Freeze very well. About a year and a half ago, I was in Oxford, and we went out to dinner, and I sat there for a couple hours and listened to him explain what happened in the incident. And I, even though I'm a hardened journalist, I found myself saying, you know, whether this is true or not, this is one great story. And as a result of that, I think he can get a job.
Interesting. Well, that's kind of where I was going next. Is just, I know in your dealings what you truly thought about him. We don't need to relive what happened at Ole Miss. We all know what happened and how it played out. Interesting. Well, as I've said all week, you know, if you're looking for a hung jury, you only need one juror, right? It's like you only need one team to raise their hand and say, "Yep, we'll take you." And I don't think that'll be hard, especially if he keeps having success. Do you think ultimately, if one AD or school raises their hand and says, "Yep, we're ready to get back into our winning ways," do you think it's in the SEC or do you think it's somewhere else?
I think he's best positioned in the SEC. So, you know, where are the openings going to be? Still don't know. I mean, South Carolina is one that is, you know, depending on whether, you know, where we go with the season, that could possibly open. I don't think Vanderbilt is necessarily a good destination point for Hugh Freeze. Next year, could it be Auburn? I can't believe I'm about to say this, but Tennessee. So I think he has to weigh it. The one thing that Freeze has going for him, other than what he's done, is he's represented by Jimmy Sexton, who I think at this moment represents either 11 or 12 SEC head coaches. There's nobody who knows more about the SEC. He knows the openings before they happen. It's worth saying that Sexton, when Butch Jones was fired, he had all three finalists. He represented all three finalists when Jeremy Pruitt got the job. So, you can't be any more plugged in, and he's been a client. Hugh Freeze has been one of his clients for a long time. So, you know, Sexton's talking to people already.
Do you really matter as a coach if you don't have Jimmy Sexton representing
you? There's good and bad. I've had coaches call me and say, you know, assistant coaches who say, I can't get a job because he's representing like five other assistant coaches. And one of the three people, well, only two people who didn't get that Tennessee job called me in the middle of it and said, I'm not sure Jimmy's, you know, I don't know which way Jimmy is representing me here. But, you know, Sexton, by the way, that happens in every business, though. In the business that I'm in, I had an agent, he just left to take over at the World Wrestling Association, or WWE. And, you know, he represented 20-some-odd clients. Most of them were at ESPN, and quite often, you know, he had two or three people up for the same job. But that's the way of the world.
Paul Feinbaum is with us. Paul, I'm curious your outlook now, because as you know, programs can kind of get a label. Notre Dame has been a very good team, but they've had the reputation. When they go up against the real big dogs, they've struggled. They had this at home. But give me your thoughts on what this did for them, beating Clemson, albeit without Trevor Lawrence.
It meant everything. And I don't think the Trevor Lawrence factor is all that big because of how well his replacement did in the game.
Boy, he's good.
And I think what's happened now is that Notre Dame state the obvious. I mean, even with a loss to Clemson in the rematch at the ACC title game, they're a legitimate contender to get in the playoffs. And some of it depends on how everything else falls. And and what the schedule and what the calendar looks like. And you know, right now the biggest issue everywhere is, you know, can you get enough games in? And you know, I don't think it's a big deal for Alabama. It could, you know, Ohio State losing the Maryland game this week really hurts them. We still have no idea what to make out of the Pac-12. They're going to have to, either SC or Oregon will have to be undefeated. But I think if Ohio State, you know, makes it through and they're the Big Ten rep, and let's say Alabama, you know, wins the SEC, then I think Notre Dame right now would definitely, with a loss to Clemson, would be the fourth pick.
It's interesting, and as you said, Paul, Clemson still has a way to get back in there, but how do you think it will be looked at? Because DJ Uiagalelei played so well, they certainly didn't lose because of him. He was so good that the whole, well, you beat him without Lawrence, that does seem to be not as big of a factor, or is it? Because, I mean, you do wonder what would have happened if Lawrence were there, but I don't know if that kid could have played much better.
Well, then you just simply have to measure the next game, and that's to the advantage of the 12 people on that committee. So, I mean, if Clemson comes in and wins the game 45-14, then I don't think Notre Dame's going to get the bid. But if that game is close, then you have to say, okay, well, Lawrence made a difference, but not a significant difference. But Notre Dame also has to finish the deal. I mean, they can't blow this week against BC and you know, slouch their way toward mid-December.
Talking to Paul Feinbaum here with us, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. So that kind of leads me along the same lines of what I was going to ask. I mean, if you have the two ACC teams that work their way in, I mean, what does this mean for a team like Florida that right now their only blemish is to Texas A&M? Now, obviously, in this scenario, they would have to beat Alabama in the SEC championship game. But does Notre Dame's win make it that much harder for the committee with some of these strong SEC teams and trying to get multiple teams in?
I think if Florida beats Alabama, then they'll get in. It's almost impossible to deny the SEC champion, especially one that has just beaten the number one team in the country. If Florida loses, then you flip it around. What about Texas A&M? I think Texas A&M right. is in trouble. Impressive win over Florida. Yeah, they did not look good against Alabama. They have looked great since then, but I don't think sitting there on that December 19th date is going to help them unless they're playing a makeup game that day, which still won't help them very much. And it's hard to pull that off, and that's where Notre Dame will get so much out of having played in the ACC title game. I mean, it will be just beyond ironic if them opting into the ACC for that 1 year and even losing the title game gets them in. I will not rule the Pac-12 out yet, but I don't trust the Pac-12, and not to get into COVID talk too deeply, but as this virus spreads across the country, and you start to wonder about where we're going to look nationally in 4 weeks. I think the South, you'll see football, but who knows about the governors of the Western states? I mean, they may not let anybody get out of their house in December.
Yeah, I guess another way I should have put it too. So, if in your opinion, if Alabama, if their only loss is the SEC title game, do you still think they'd be out, or do you think that?
Yeah. I think if it's I always hate to use the cliche, a close game, but you know, at that point Alabama would have run the table during the regular season. Their only loss would be in a title game against a top five team, and they played so well too. I mean, I think Alabama just ought to be put in there right now.
So we know Tennessee, Texas A&M has been postponed this week, so it's another week for Jeremy Pruitt to try and figure out what the heck is going on with his program. We saw Harrison Bailey make an appearance at the end of the Arkansas game. I mean, does this make it even, I guess, easier for him to stick with Bailey now that you have the extra week not to play a game, that he's going to be the guy moving forward?
Seems logical, doesn't it? But logical and Jeremy Pruitt don't often end up in the same sentence. I cannot believe he'll go back to Aaron Tannehill. I just don't. He's got to start thinking, futuristically, where if I just go down the tubes with this guy, where is that going to put me? I think we can all agree that no matter how good or bad the season ends for him, and probably a break that he didn't play this week, it gives him a little time to breathe. Jeremy Pruitt moves on to next year, but you just don't need the chips piling up against you next year, and I think he'll have those if he remains stubborn. I mean, his stewardship of this team has not been great. I mean, I know that doesn't sound like I'm really going out on a limb there. But
So you think he should have kicked a field goal down two possessions late in the game?
I mean, it's just baffling for me to try to figure out what he's doing.
Yeah, well.
Well, us too.
He certainly creates a lot of fodder for the show every week. And the other part, Paul, and you've been around this, in Alabama, it's just everybody gets it. He came from the Nick Saban staff, and, we've got kind of two unique situations, one in this market right here and then two in the state when you count Jeremy Pruitt in Knoxville. They came from, arguably the best in those two sports, right? Nick Saban and Bill Belichick and Vrabel and Pruitt. But nobody wants to hear how you've seen what winning looks like and what it takes to get there. And to just get there, you know what I mean? Everybody knows where you came from. You don't need to keep reminding people. But when you lose, all these games by five touchdowns or more, nobody thinks that you've really know what it looks like and how to get there. Is that fair to say?
It is. And I always, with Jeremy Pruitt, I know people have talked to him privately about, will you listen to people in terms of communication? And he just doesn't. He's an absolutely terrible communicator. And when you're the face of a program that's the state school that, at least at one time in history was a really important college football program nationally, not anymore, by the way, you have to be able to get that message across. Philip Fulmer, even when there was criticism of him as a head coach, he had a very charming Southern way of communicating. Others have done it. Pruitt comes off as a country high school coach, and that's not the image you want at the University of Tennessee. At least, well, I don't think it is. Maybe since the many years have passed since I graduated, life has changed, but. Yeah, he doesn't even try. He just walks into those meetings, whether it's during the week or after the game, as if we're keeping him from something more important.
Yeah. Good stuff as always, Paul. We really appreciate it. Have a great rest of your week, and we look forward to talking to you next Thursday.
Guys, always enjoy it. Talk to you then.
All right, that is Paul Feinbaum, brought to you by Gary Force Acura and MTGRT.com, your live and local mortgage expert. Remember, Paul Feinbaum coming up today at 2 o'clock every day, Monday through Friday, 2 to 6 on 94.9. We'll continue that discussion. Two things I want to touch on. The Tennessee part that we just heard Paul Feinbaum talk about, Jeremy Pruitt, that we've talked about on the show. He took it a little bit further. I want to go back to the Clemson and Trevor Lawrence as well, because it does seem to be a divided house. I've talked to a lot of people this week, and there are people that feel strongly that Trevor Lawrence, it's the same result. I mean, it wasn't about the offense, it was more about the defense. And there's others like maybe me that say, hogwash, give me a break. Don't act like it's the same. It would not have been the same result with Trevor Lawrence. We'll discuss next on Darren Donick and Chase, ESPN 102.5 The Game.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Victory Lane? Yeah, it's even better with Chumba by my side. Race to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. CTNCs 21+. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.